Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy here.
It could be the start of a special season for the Bills and their fans. The 61st season of Buffalo Bills football with hopes and expectations as high as they've ever been. Ready to go, first and goal from the two. Allen takes the snap, makes the handoff, rolls to his left, going to keep it himself. Race to the end zone, he is in! Touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen, first touchdown of the year. Josh, play action fake, has time to throw, has time to scan the field, looks, goes to his right, fires it right side, and is caught! Caught for the touchdown! Rookie Zach Moss, touchdown Buffalo! Allen fires a quick one, caught by John Brown. Low makes the catch at the 10, at the 5, cruises into the end zone, touchdown Buffalo! John Brown, a 17-yard touchdown catch. Snap to Darnold. Now he rolls out to his left, fires it over the middle of the field, and it is intercepted. Picked off by Matt Milano. The pass was up high. Milano came up with it. Third and 7. Darnold, quick pass, caught by Crowder. Crowder gets a first down and more at midfield. Beats a man at the tackle. Jamison Crowder at the 30, at the 20, being chased down by Taron Johnson, but he can't get him into the end zone. Touchdown. Game is over with a 27-17 Buffalo victory. Second consecutive kickoff Sunday victory for the Buffalo Bills.
Welcome to a Bills Victory Monday. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you here on One Bills Live, a Monday Game Rewind edition, and Game Rewind brought to you by Toshiba, the official copier company of the Buffalo Bills. And joining us here in the first hour of the program on Monday is the one and the only Eric Wood, who's live on the line with us from Louisville, and he'll be breaking down the game with us through this first hour of the program. Eric, good to have you. How'd that game grab you yesterday, man?
It was fun to watch. You know, it's always great to see the Bills take care of business and take care of it early. I don't know how great of an indication we get for how good the Bills are going to be this season based upon their opponent yesterday. The Jets really struggled in Orchard Park yesterday. Hopefully, that's an indication that the Buffalo Bills are just that good. The Bills' defense picked up right where they left off, and we saw a lot of execution in a variety of ways from this offense.
Yeah, Steve, I mean, that first quarter, man, it looked the Bills' passing game looked like pitch and catch. I mean, it was way too easy.
Yeah, it was. And you know it's not going to be like that every week. And I think most Bills fans and NFL fans for sure know, you know, nobody's going to win all their games in a season. You're going to have ups and downs. But it does say a lot that the Bills did not play their best, despite the fact that Josh Allen had a career day. He left a lot of plays on the field. So did the rest of the team. And they still won convincingly. They won a 10-point game, which could have been an absolute blowout. They didn't play their best, but they still got the win. And I think that says a lot about where they're at, the level of talent they have. Their margin of error is such, particularly against the Jets yesterday, was maybe bigger than we've seen them have in any game in recent memory.
Yeah, and I know once the inactives came out, right after Steve and I were finishing up with the roundtable on the Bills radio network, we see that Lee Smith is inactive, and I looked at Steve, and I'm like, They're spreading them out today.
Yeah. Six wide receivers active. Yeah.
Yeah, all six wide receivers were active for the game. But even leading up to the game on Sunday, Eric, Steve, and I were talking about on this show how the clear mismatch was at the receiver position, knowing how devoid of top-end talent the Jets were at the cornerback position. So why not spread that group thin? And that's just what Brian Daboll did.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's a smart game plan. And I think where the Bills lie on a depth standpoint on both sides of the ball, they can continue each week to activate and run the game plan that they find weakness in their opponent. And this week, when you're going against the Jets, even back to last year, this is an excellent run defense. You're playing the strength of their defense. Maybe their team is their defensive line. So you spread them out. You start the game in 10 personnel in a hurry-up offense. You wear them out. I loved the use of screens early in the game. You saw multiple hard counts in the first half. You drew two offsides out of their defensive line. It was very tough for that defensive line to get in any sort of a rhythm the way Brian Daboll was mixing up the play calls.
Did it say anything to you that even with rookie receiver like Gabriel Davis, a new face like Steph Diggs, certainly that didn't scare you, but did it say anything to you that Brian Daboll has enough faith in a passing offense that hasn't had a preseason game to say, you know what, guys, this is our game plan, I trust you, we're going to let this quarterback throw it 40 times?
Yeah, and I think that shows a lot. A big testament to the continuity that they've had. This is year three in the offense with Josh Allen and Brian Daboll. And the new addition, Stephon Diggs, unlike if you draft a guy, you know what you're getting. And I loved what Josh Allen said after the game, because this is what I've been thinking for a while. Stephon Diggs and John Brown, that's 1A and 1B. And week to week, pick on the matchup that you see best fit. I think looking back to last year, Baker Mayfield in year two, and where he really had that drop off, well, he gets Odell Beckham Jr. last year. Well, with Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, that should be 1A and 1B, but you saw him forcing the ball to OBJ early in games, he got in trouble. Well, yesterday, early on in the game, Stephon Diggs wasn't catching the number of balls John Brown was and some other targets, and that's fine. Wait for it to open up. And I thought Josh did a phenomenal job of that. And yes, to your point, Steve, it shows a lot of confidence in your third year quarterback that you're going to come in the opener in Orchard Park on a fairly windy day where it rained early in the game and throw it 40 plus times and let him go out and have a bunch of career highs.
Yeah. And the other thing too was, I think we all knew last year that their most popular personnel grouping on offense was 11 personnel with the three wide, one tight end look. And they used that a great deal yesterday. But right behind it was 10 personnel going four wide, with the one back, and they had pretty darn good success with that spread formation. And you wonder how much they turn to that through the course of the season. Do they do that this coming week against Miami, knowing they have two top-flight corners there in Xavier and Howard and Byron Jones? It'll be interesting to see where the shift lies in the personnel groupings that Brian Daboll chooses to deploy. But to give you guys a perspective on this, okay, 68% of the plays in 11 personnel yesterday, 27% of the plays in four wide. A total of 95% of their offensive plays called were in 10 or 11 personnel. What does that say to you, Eric?
It shows that they have a lot of weapons at the receiver position. They have a lot of confidence in the quarterback. And to our original point, they're attacking the mismatch, which is one of my favorite things that Brian Daboll does, is he tries to attack the other team's weakness. Now, as the season goes on, you find out what you're good at. And obviously early in this season through preseason, they must have figured out that they really like this 10 personnel game. And what I like that they can still do out their 10 personnel based upon Isaiah McKenzie's ability to run the football and do that shovel pass, they still have a great run game option there. You still have the read option game with Josh Allen. You have the design runs for the running back. You have the jet sweeps. We saw a wide receiver screen out of that. And then even when Dawson Knox comes on the field and they truly get into 11 personnel, he's not that far of a drop-off from a receiving standpoint. Yeah. You saw him make a great contested catch along the sideline yesterday, which I absolutely loved that throw. Just a back shoulder throw. The throw that I wish quarterbacks prior to Josh Allen could make on a more consistent basis. When Aaron Rodgers made these back shoulder throws popular about 6-7 years ago, we couldn't make those happen. And now you have a guy that can make these back shoulder throws happen. And Dawson Knox also has a great run after the catch on that wide receiver screen. It was a lot of great things to show on tape in week one. And if I'm sitting there down in Miami right now and I'm Brian Flores and I'm looking at this film, you almost think, man, they can truly get to anything out of pretty much any formation.
Yeah, speaking of the offensive formations, we got a caller on the line. Patrick out in L.A. is up early this morning, and he wants to talk about those offensive formations. Patrick, what do you have for us?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Coach, rather.
Morning.
I was really impressed with the Bills' varied use of formations, but I wanted to mention that it's embarrassing that the players stayed inside the locker room for the anthem, given that they live in a country that afforded them the privilege to go out and play a child's game for money. So getting back to the formations, that I think it's going to keep everyone on their toes for the rest of the season, and that Bill Belichick is probably having a difficult morning thinking up ways that how is he going to stop the spread formation, because once Gabriel Davis tightens up a couple mistakes, he missed two blocks that led to Allen getting destroyed twice, and he had that holding on special teams, but we're looking strong early in week one. So thank you so much, gentlemen. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, right. I mean, go ahead, Steve. You can react to that one.
Yeah, I agree. And that's one thing we saw early in the season last year. You've got to go out, and it's as much about finding out what the defense wants to do against you and who the defense you're playing against is as much as it is finding out about your own team week to week. They found out some things about themselves yesterday going against a real live NFL team instead of just themselves. And I think that experimentation with formations and personnel groupings not only said what they thought they could do better against the people they had in New York, but it also gave them some information about what they could do in the future. So all that stuff goes into the pot, and this is still a feeling out process. It was the first game of the regular season, but it was also the first game of the preseason as well.
Eric, I don't surmise that Bill Belichick is worried about the Bills right now, because he's got a different opponent here in week two, and he's not going to see the Bills until week eight. So he's on to the next opponent that they have next week, which I don't even know, having not looked at their schedule. And we should probably mention this too. Oh, by the way, they were the number one defense last year, and while they have had a lot of personnel losses, the one part of their defense that is largely intact is their secondary, with J.C. Jackson, Stephon Gilmore, the McCourties. I mean, they're going to be fine on the back end. I don't think they're terribly worried about four wide right now from Buffalo at this point in the season.
Yeah, you're right. They played the Dolphins yesterday, and this week they got a very tough test in the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick is probably not on to Buffalo film
to
right
Seattle.
Now. And to your point on the Patriots defense, I was watching the Bills game at the 1 o'clock hour. I'll admit, most of what I saw from the Patriots Dolphins game yesterday was highlights. But their defense sure looked good. They picked off Fitz three times yesterday.
Yeah.
And we'll save the jokes, guys. He's one of my best friends. But
well, they're already talking about Tua down there, as you'd expect. That didn't take long.
Oh, I'm sure. And you know what? It's going to be Tua time eventually, right? Me and Ryan Fitzpatrick talked about that on my podcast. It's eventually going to be Tua time. How soon that is, I'm not sure. How healthy is he coming off the injuries from last year? How well does he know the offense with no preseason games and no OTAs? That's going to be the question. And we sure know Fitz knows this offense, having played in it now with three organizations under Chan Gailey.
Yeah, and I'm not anticipating that Brian Flores is going to throw Tua Tagovailoa out for his first NFL start against what's been a top five defense each of the last 2 years in the Buffalo Bills this week. So I would anticipate that Fitz would be back in the lineup again this week. Let's take another call from Carl on line, Carl in Amherst, and we remind you can call in here at 803-0550 if you want to be a part of the program here. So Carl, what do you have for us? Carl, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, what do you got for us, guy?
I'm calling because I want to congratulate the team on their first win, but I'm very curious why our quarterback carried the ball so much. Why we didn't use our backs more. And I'm also calling to find out about our injuries on Milano and Edmonds. Are they, or do you know anything?
Yeah, I'll take a stab. The injuries we don't know about for sure, and we don't have a report in it, but I've heard people say, you know, Edmonds was seen. He didn't have any ice on his shoulder. He wasn't in a sling or anything like that. It doesn't appear to be catastrophic, at least on the surface. Milano, soft tissue, pulled a hammy. So,
and he has a history of hamstring injuries.
Depending on the severity of it, the Bills will probably sit him down and be very cautious with his return. Yeah. So
we'll have to see. Coach McDermott will be addressing the media at 4 o'clock, so we may get an update there as to the severity, although I would tend to think we're probably not going to hear much from Coach, especially with a division game on tap this weekend. But, Eric, this would leave a sizable hole in this team's defense if these two linebackers who play a ton, pretty much all the defensive snaps, are not part of the equation this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And when Sean McDermott took over, they addressed the linebackers in the draft almost immediately. And when Sean McDermott's defenses were elite in Carolina, it was from elite linebacker play. It was from Luke Kuechly. It was from Thomas Davis. And then they drafted Shaq Thompson in the first round. Well, they have their linebackers. They love their two linebackers of Milano and Edmonds. And you saw when Milano went out of the game yesterday, the Jets attacked A.J. Klein immediately with Le'Veon Bell, drew the holding call, which actually ended up dinging up the hamstring of Le'Veon Bell, but they went at him immediately. Now, A.J. Klein's played a lot of football in this league. You love having a backup like A.J. Klein where you can put him right in and you know that you're going to get consistency from your veteran. This isn't a rookie linebacker where who knows what you're going to get from him. You know what you're going to get from A.J. Klein. Now, Matt Milano, in my opinion, is one of the best linebackers in the NFL, a guy that can truly stay on the field for three downs. But we saw last year, the Bills are very cautious with soft tissue injuries. They do not want these to linger on throughout the season. We saw it with Devin Singletary last year. We saw it with Matt Milano and a number of other players. With hamstrings, the Bills have shown to be overly cautious. So hopefully it's very minor. He can come back with a sizable lead yesterday. They decided not to put him back in. Hopefully that's the case. But we'll see. And this could be a deal this week with a good rushing attack for Miami that they may, I'll say a good running back stable for Miami, I'll correct myself a little bit, that they may try to get more downhill on the Buffalo Bills, which we saw in Orchard Park last year. We saw them activate a fullback for the first game against the Bills last year when they played him in Orchard Park. They activated a fullback for the game trying to exploit the run defense of the Buffalo Bills, which had shown to be a little bit vulnerable to that point.
And to take it a step further, we should not forget the fact that Delshawn Phillips, the other linebacker who plays a lot on special teams, left the game with a quad injury. And then at the very end of the game, Tyrell Dodson went out and was tended to on the field and then left and went to the sidelines and did not play the last three plays. Tyler Matakavich came in for him at the very end of the game. So this linebacker injury list may go further than just Milano and Edmonds. And if it does, you have to believe that the personnel department's going to be on the horn looking for options because you don't want to get caught shorthanded, especially with a division game coming up.
I will say this. Dodson wanted to come back on the field. He ran halfway out and then got substituted back out. His didn't seem to be bad at all. He was going to come back in the game. And they said, no. They were cautious with him, which may be a little bit of what they did with Tremaine Edmonds. If he had a tweaked wing and – will say, I can go, and they're like, and I could see Sean McDermott and the training staff going, no way.
Games in hand.
Yeah. You sit down. You're not going back in the game.
Let's address Carl's other question, and that being the carries by Josh Allen. Now,
coordinator, and you're going to run the quarterback read options. I want the quarterback to be the guy running the football, not the running back, because it gives, A, he's not as good at running the football as their guys, as the running backs are, and B, I want a shot at him.
Yeah.
And you can bet a guy like Greg Williams would love to have his defenders coming downhill on the quarterback in a run game.
Yeah, I think as the season progresses, you'd love to see the Buffalo Bills get away from some of this read game. And I'll say out in the field where he's going to take shots. Now, if you're on the 5-yard line and he's going to be diving into the end zone, if it's for a critical fourth down and one, like we saw the Bills utilize on the Jets side of the field yesterday, where they ran essentially a QB sneak from the gun with Josh Allen, let him get his momentum going forward. He's been extremely effective in fourth down runs. Let him convert first downs like that. But I think as the season goes on, you get away from some of the QB draw stuff out in the field where he's going to take some unnecessary shots. But to your point, Steve and Chris, the run game wasn't as effective yesterday, so they let him do a few more things. And Josh, I've talked to him about this in person, talked about it on the podcast, I've heard him say it elsewhere. He likes taking a shot early in the game to get him going. At what point we get that out of him in his career, because I'd love him just to go through a game completely unscathed, I don't know. But apparently he still likes taking a couple shots early to get him into the flow of the ball game.
Yeah,
but it's one of his biggest strengths, though. So let's not pretend like Josh Allen at this point of his career is one of the top two or three best pure pocket passers in the league. But tell you what, with the ball in his hands on the perimeter, he's phenomenal. And we got to let him use that as his weapon. Can he do a better job of not taking shots at the end of runs? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, we even mentioned it on the pregame radio show yesterday. Josh basically says, I tell Dable, give me an early run in the game just so I can get into the feel of and the flow of the game, because he said he's so jacked up at the beginning of games. He needs that like first hit to kind of settle him down almost, which is kind of crazy when you think about it, but it works for him. And so I guess that's the way it goes. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Let's go to Brian on line one. He's got a comment on Brian Dable's offensive game plan. Brian, welcome to the show. What do you got for us? Brian, are you there? Or Derek, I'm sorry. Derek. Derek, are you with us?
Yeah, how's it going?
Going all right. What do you got for us?
I was just wondering what you guys thought about Dable yesterday. I thought he was pretty good. I was just curious what the two of you thought about
him. Yeah, I really liked his game plan. Steve and I were wondering through the course of the week if they were going to spread this Jets cornerback contingent thin in light of how devoid of top-end talent it was, and they proved to do just that. And that's what Dable's MO is, as Eric mentioned, you know, find the biggest mismatch and exploit it to high heaven. And it could be completely different next week, knowing how strong the Dolphins' corners are. There might be some other thing they feel they can exploit. We know that Beagle, the linebacker, is out for the year. They've got a backup in his role. Maybe they target him with a tight end or some other kind of, thing in the passing game with a running back coming on circle routes and exploiting that guy time and time and time again. I think that's what makes Dable so effective, is while the mismatch may even be obvious to people like Steve and I, he finds a way to exploit it in multiple ways, even though the personnel grouping may stay largely the same.
Yeah, we've been talking about it all morning. We like the approach he took. It says a lot about his confidence in Josh that he let him throw it 40-plus times during the game on a day when a lot of the runs were his, and also where they had 85 offensive plays and they went most of the day in four wide. I think it says a lot about his confidence in that offense. But I think as they get further down the road, and Eric, you can speak to this, you go four wide, sooner or later – you're going to get a team that's going to rush six when you block five or rush seven when you block six. They're just going to decide to do that a lot, and you're going to have answers for that. But for yesterday against that team, I thought it was the exact right approach to take.
Yeah, and to your point, there was a few times where Greg Williams dialed up pressures that were either undetected by the line to be able to slide back the other way, or it was a simple call it and run it play, where they were sliding away from an unblocked defender. And it's amazing how well Josh Allen can make those guys miss when they're coming free at him. Two or three times yesterday, a blitzer completely scot-free, and Josh Allen avoids it and either makes a throw down the field or was a number of his scrambles came in that regard. But it's amazing how he's able to make that unblocked defender miss. But you don't want to make a living doing that, and you're going to take some unnecessary shots. So if you're going to stay in that 10 personnel game, you have to be very good at sight reads by the quarterback. And as you see defenders coming, you get on the same page as your receivers and you throw to the open windows and you make the defense pay if they're going to continually bring six and seven guys. And last year on third downs, one of the biggest weaknesses the Bills had was when teams simply would bring one extra defender and say, hey, look, you can't get open fast enough. And I think that's part of the reason you bring in a Stephon Diggs, is to combat that.
Yeah, and we saw him make several plays off script yesterday by extending them, as you mentioned. Arm tackles do not bring Josh down in the pocket or anywhere else because he is so strong and he can pull through those. And the touchdown to Zach Moss is a perfect example of that. I mean, he gets out of the pocket when there is pressure and the pocket's breaking down. He escapes contain, gets outside, buys time with his feet, and then just throws a dart in between two defenders to Moss for a touchdown. That's what he gives you. And, you know, I know that, as Eric said, you don't want to make a living out of that, but knowing that you have that capability gets you out of trouble a lot. And Josh, after the game too, Steve, to his credit, gave credit to his receivers for being really sharp on their scramble rules, you know, and working back to the football or back to where the quarterback is on the field. What do you make of those scramble rules?
Like, it's true.
Just walk us through those, because I don't know if everybody is familiar with what the scramble rules are for receivers.
And it's different for every team, but what we used to do is if you're on the same side as the quarterback where he's scrambling, if you're short, you go long. If you're long, you come short. You move away from where you were at the time. You got to get motion. When the quarterback scrambles, you have to scramble too. You got to move. You can't just camp out. And if you're on the far side of the field, you come across and you come to the quarterback in a vacant area and try and get to him. Everybody's got to bust loose and try and get open. It's a little bit of street ball. There's no question about it. Yeah. It's off the page. But if you have certain rules, it gives you the best chance to get open, and the quarterback's got to understand what he expects you to do and then look for the void in the defense.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Let's go to Andy in Buffalo, who has a comment on Stephon Diggs. We're 26 minutes in, and we've barely touched on the top new passing weapon for the Bills. Andy, what do you have for us?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm really impressed with how the passing offense looked. It really seems like Josh Allen just has all day to throw, and it seems like that the addition of Diggs is just only going to help John Brown throughout the season. John Brown seemed to just be open all the time yesterday. It was really nice to see the passing offenses continuously moving the ball down the field. I think the pass protection, too, has been amazing.
Yeah, I'll tip my hat to the line here. I mean, there were times where Josh is just bouncing around in the pocket. He's looking left, he's looking right, and then he gets to scan back to the left again. I mean, I can't remember the last time that happened with a great degree of consistency over the course of play after play after play after play in a game. Like, usually the defense will change something up to shorten that time in the pocket down for the quarterback, and it just did not seem to happen yesterday on the part of the Jets, which is why the passing game looked like pitch and catch. But, Eric, why don't you break down for us, you know, I know you already outlined how John Brown was helped by the fact that Diggs was getting all the attention early in the game, but eventually Josh came back to Diggs, and he had 9 targets in the game. And I don't know about you, Eric, but I really think there was only one time when he threw to him in the end zone and he was double covered that he quote-unquote forced the ball to Stephon. Other than that, I thought he just threw to him when he knew he was open. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I thought Josh did a great job all day of not forcing it to anybody except for maybe that one play in the red zone. And those windows down in the red zone do get tight. It shows that he trusts Stephon Diggs to get open down there. And I thought Stephon Diggs had a great day. 3 of his catches were for first downs on third down. So he's making plays when they know it's a pass. And I loved his one block on the screen as well to spring John Brown for the touchdown. And Josh mentioned after the game in his press conference that John Brown, the first person he ran to after he scored, was Stephon Diggs for making that block down the field. But the Bills got a special weapon in Stephon Diggs. And for Josh to have 3 guys that can just flat out separate, like Cole Beasley, John Brown, and Stephon Diggs, then you can simply go to attacking matchups when you see man coverage, because you got 3 guys that are super effective at receiver.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. The offensive line did a nice job yesterday, and it's nice, too, for them. When they do guess wrong and when they do hold off and then late in the down, they got a quarterback that is hard to catch. You know, Josh Allen helps them as much as they're helping him. And everything was working for him yesterday. There's no question about it from the early going. And you know, we haven't talked about it yet, but, you know, the 2 fumbles Josh Allen had, one was a strip and the other one, he just lost control of the ball. That, you know, those are really tough plays to live through. But I like, too, and I said this on the broadcast, Eric, Daboll's not going to stop calling those plays. Because to win games in this league on consistent, you've got to hit on all cylinders a lot of the time. And one of the big cylinders of Buffalo's offense is his ability to run. He's going to have the ball in his hands every play. You're not going to bench him because he fumbled the ball running down the field 20 yards. He's going to come back. You got to say, listen, you're going to carry it more. They're not going to take the ball out of his hands. And they came right back to him. Hence, he had another fumble in the game when he was running with it. They're going to keep giving him the football on these run plays because it's one of the things this offense needs to do to be effective. If the running game, if Moss and Singletary and their defensive front and their run defense is that good, let's see how good they are against the quarterback. Still make them pay for it without having to hand the football off. But they're not taking the ball out of Josh Allen's hands in the run game,
right.
I don't think.
Hold on to your thoughts, guys, because we do have to take a break. But keep calling in here at 803-0550. Jerry in DePew, Randy in Buffalo, Kerry in Hamburg, Gabe in Rochester. Hang on, we'll get to you in the next segment as we are talking a Bills victory Monday after their 27-17 win over the Jets in week one. Eric Wood obviously joining us on the line. He'll be with us up until 1 o'clock to answer your questions and opinions on the week one victory. Back in a moment here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Broadcasting from the Seneca Studios here in Orchard Park, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, along with Eric Wood joining us from Louisville on a Bills victory Monday, 27-17 over the Jets. And we go right back to the phones at 803-0550, and we talk to Randy in Buffalo. Randy, what do you have for us here? Randy, turn your radio down, my man.
I turn it down. Sorry, guys.
No problem.
My question is about in the last drive, in the last 4 minutes of the game, why they go to the prevent when they were doing so well, you know, stopping everything to allow them guys to get some points?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just an example of what we've seen Coach McDermott's teams do before when they're up on the scoreboard. At that point in the game, it's in hand. The win is virtually assured. You're up more than a score, and you trade yards for time on the clock. Sometimes points too, but am I right, guys? You trade yards for time on the clock because you want to end the game, right?
That's exactly right. You're more interested in keeping them in bounds and giving them some yards and keeping the clock running than you are stopping them for a three and out. And here's the reason too, and you saw this a little bit yesterday. When the Jets started to pick up the pace a little bit offensively, it's because they started to get desperate. Desperate teams just play better. They gamble more. They try to make things happen. And more often than not, NFL teams are good enough to do that when they're desperate.
Yeah.
They don't play like that all the time. But when that happens, and plus the Bills were not desperate.
Yeah.
Right? So that little shift in the teeter-totter of emotional content, you could tell that happens. So what it is, and when you get late in the game, Sean McDermott's taking the pressure off of his defense and saying, listen, keep him in front of you. Keep the clock running, and that's the goal of these plays, not so much to go out, sell out, try and get an interception. All of a sudden, the guy turns around, spins out of a tackle, and goes the distance.
Eric, what do you make of the defensive effort yesterday? We're almost 40 minutes into the show. We haven't even mentioned them a lick, and I understand why. But you look at that defensive front, 4-3 and outs in the first five series for the Jets, and, you know, I don't know about you guys, but Sam Darnold was rushing throws. He was so skittish in the way that game started. Would you agree with that, Eric?
I agree, and I think the Bills' D-line did an excellent job of constantly moving him off of his spot, making him throw on the move, not letting him hit his receivers in stride. You saw three sacks by the Buffalo Bills yesterday, a great start to the season in that regard. One of them was one of my biggest pet peeves ever. Sam Darnold could easily throw the ball out of bounds, and he took a sack along the sideline on the Dotson sack. But it was a great effort by the Buffalo Bills, that defense. They pick up right where they left off last year, being stifling through the air. The last caller mentioned giving up some yards in the prevent at the end of the game. But you know what? As much as the Bills defense wants to be number one statistical defense in the league this year, they'll take a win any day of the week. And, you give up 7 points there, but they chew up the entire clock, put them in a desperation situation with an onside kick and an opportunity for the Bills just to kneel the game out. But on the day, they only give up 254 total yards. I mean, that's a dominating performance. And you mentioned four out of the first five drives forcing a three and out. And that's absolutely huge. And that's what allows the Bills to go on three consecutive scoring drives after they fumble, is because they're getting the ball back so quickly that the Jets defense can't catch their breath. And they're one possession they did get a first down. I believe it was the fourth drive of the game. They only got one first down, and then they punted away. Yeah. And Andre Roberts did a great job in the return game of putting the Bills where they're not in a backed-up situation, besides the one where they had a penalty on the punt return. But the Bills' defense was outstanding. Their pass coverage was great. Trey White with an awesome pass breakup on a third down on one of the really accurate throws by Darnold to Perryman, their number one receiver. Trey White just completely blankets him, and it was an incredible performance. And then you get the interception through the air by Milano. I'm assuming that was some type of a Tampa 2 look, since he was retreating to the middle of the field. But Milano showing off his athleticism by making that play.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you talked about the Bills' efforts to move Darnold off his spot, because a lot of what we were hearing out of New York in terms of assessing Arnold's play in training camp was that he needs to work on his lower body mechanics. And when you get him moving, I think it affects his throwing mechanics even more. I think that certainly weighed into why he was so inaccurate early in that football game. Let's go back to the phones to Carrie in Hamburg, who's got a topic that I know Eric will be all over here. You want to talk about the screen game, Carrie? What do you got for us?
Yeah, what's the difference this year, or at least in the first game? The screen game looked pretty effective compared to what they were doing last year, which you either didn't see it or wasn't very effective.
Yeah, Eric, I'm going to let you take this one.
Yeah, that's a great question. And some of it's circumstantial. You need a defensive line that's rushing the passer to get the screen game going. And when you drop back to throw the ball, Josh Allen had 46 attempts, but then he had scrambles on top of that. It drops back over 50 times to the game. Well, the defensive line's going to be rushing the passer because they assume it's a pass almost every play. And so you get that going. But to your point, the screen game is something that takes a lot of timing, and to not have any preseason games to work this out, to not have OTAs to work through the spring game or to the screen game, it's incredible to see how far along they were. One of the screens, the wide receiver screen to John Brown, was a check, a phenomenal check by Josh Allen. And Brian Daboll, or I guess Josh said it after the game, that wasn't a check with me play. He simply saw that the Bills were in a bad look and got them to that wide receiver screen that ended up being a walk-in touchdown. But I love the variety of screens we saw yesterday, because we saw receiver screens, we saw tight end screens, and screens of the running back. And that's – we talk about the Bills being so – having so much variety on offense and being tough to prepare for. That's the stuff you can do in year three with an offensive coordinator. And when you return so many starters, you simply build off what you were doing last year, and you have so many tools in the toolbox.
And that's more homework for Miami this week, right, Steve?
Absolutely. Plus, in a game where you're really struggling to run the football at all, the screen game's a great way to get a little bit of a run game going. It's just a short pass that turns into a long
handoff. Get a guy out in space.
Get a guy in space. Get the ball to somebody who can run with it after the catch in some space. It's a great addition to the passing game. That's also kind of a hybrid run game. Get your offensive lineman out ahead of it and gets them running out. And I agree with you, Eric, that, and he's right. That I called it on the broadcast too. Josh Allen stopped everything and changed that play at the line on that screen pass to John Brown. And Cody Ford did a great job releasing out and getting out ahead of him. Of course, Steph Diggs, as you said, made a great block as well. Really well executed on the fly there by everybody involved. And you don't do that without a lot of you know, continuity without a little experience in the offense, not just by John Brown and Cody Ford, but also a veteran like Stephon Diggs.
803-0550 to get on board with us. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, and Eric Wood with you talking to Bills Victory Monday. Let's go to Jerry in Depew, who wants to talk about the running back contingent right now. Jerry, what do you have for us?
Hey, guys, good show. Eric and Steve, you could probably address this. But my question is, when Josh is in the shotgun formation and he receives the ball, it appears like, yes, he is stationary, but he's giving that ball to the running back who really has no time to make a move to find a hole. I guess I'm saying, as a novice, I think our running back should be further back in the backfield so they can get momentum to make a fake and maybe find a hole.
What do you think of that, Steve?
I don't know. I think I get what you're saying. I think one of the problems with that is the fact that you got an offensive game plan where you're going to throw it 50 times. You're going to drop back 50 times. The defensive line is coming after you. They're going to get a lot of penetration. They're going to get up the field. If you want to run the football at all, like I said earlier, I think they had less than five straight handoffs in the running game.
Yeah.
It was all
mostly read option.
It was all read option. That's not even a straight handoff. I mean, it's a read option, that kind of thing. The shovel pass to Isaiah McKenzie coming across, or the handoff there as well.
Yeah, it counts as a pass, but yeah.
Yeah. All of that was their running game. They had less than five places where Josh Allen took the ball from under center, ran back, handed it to the running back on a running play straight into the line in one way, shape, or form. So I think that was the way this game unfolded. I don't know that changing your offensive philosophy to lining up your running backs deeper is necessary. Maybe it would have helped yesterday, but I don't know how you know that going in.
And they were showing some different looks also, because they ran some 20 personnel yesterday in the red zone with a split backfield with Zach Moss and Devin Singletary, which is something that Steve thought they might unveil this season, with knowing the capabilities of those two guys. And very late in the game, guys, down in the red zone, they ran a pistol formation with Josh in the shotgun and Singletary right behind him, which we haven't seen a whole lot of under Brian Daboll. So little different wrinkles being thrown in there. I got to believe at that point in the game, Brian Daboll's probably sitting up there in the booth going, all right, let's give an extra homework assignment to the Dolphins defensive coordinator this week. Let's put a little pistol out there. Let's put this.
There's a lot of that going on.
That's the gamesmanship that happens, right, Eric?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And to the point about the run game, by moving the running back or offsetting him or pistol or whatever you want to do with that, at times that makes it very hard for that running back to pass protect. He cannot see through Josh Allen if he's behind him in the shotgun, in the pistol. We ran into some issues with that when I was playing. And when you offset him back a little bit further, you see it more in the college game. Linebackers are just so fast, they get on you. You have to close that space. I see the caller's point. That's the drawback of the shotgun runs, is that the running back does not get a lot of the momentum, but he also gets the ball quickly and he gets good vision of the play in the backfield. You know, the shotgun run game was effective for him last year. They're not going to ditch it. They're not going to switch their strategy just based off of game one, not getting the run game going. And that partially could be due to A, the Jets defensive front, and then B, you know, just getting this offensive line working together for the first time against a different opponent this year.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to get on with us for a Bills Victory Monday. Gabe in Rochester, Joe in Rochester, James in Hamilton, Matt in Williamsville. Hang on, we'll get to you as soon as we can. We got to step aside right now here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Back on One Bills Live, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, and one Eric Wood joining us for the first hour of the program today here on a Bills Victory Monday. And we go back to the phones at 803-0550, and we go to Gabe in Rochester, who has been waiting patiently. And Gabe has got a question about Josh Allen throwing in windy conditions. What do you have there, Gabe?
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Steve Tasker, loved you growing up. Eric Wood, I was actually the MC DJ when you came to Rochester at a bull riding bar.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, so my question is Josh Allen, and with the wind, was it the wind or was it like no preseason? Because these throws, like with John Brown wide open in the end zone, he didn't even square up to throw it. Mike Singletary, when he didn't, he could have had a touchdown if he just let him a little more against, you know, because he's smaller against the cornerback there. Or even the Cole Beasley play when he dove and he had to catch that one. If he would have just hit him in stride, he would have still kept walking all the way out to the end zone. So
yeah, I would agree with that one on Cole Beasley especially. He hits him in stride, that's six, and it's not even close. And he did have to dive for that. Yeah, I mean, his ball location was a little off, guys, but at the end of the day, he's 71% completion. I don't know how you have a problem with that.
Right. There are a couple of the two throws in the end zone are the ones that are going to keep him up at night. I think there's the first one, I was laughing in the booth because Steph Diggs is there. He's got two guys standing in his face. They're standing on the goal line. He's standing at the pylon. They're all within 3 feet of each other. And Steph Diggs is pointing behind them at Dawson Knox.
Throw it to him.
Throw it to that guy. he's telling Josh Allen, throw it to him. And, of course, Josh, you missed him. And then later on, he missed John Brown in the back of the end zone.
Right,
as well.
There were GIFs up on Twitter in like 5 minutes. It was ridiculous. And as soon as I saw it, I said, oh, boy.
That's all
the naysayers are going to eat
right?
that one up.
He did. He threw it. He just kind of threw it going backwards. He tried to square up on it, and he just sailed it right over the top of his head. And I, on the broadcast, I said, that was as bad a throw as I've seen him make in 3 years. And it probably was because he just nonchalanted it and kind of tried to get it off real quick and just lost focus.
But, Eric, to take it a step further, you look at the longest plays from scrimmage for the Bills yesterday, and it was 29, 28, and 26 yards. Those were the three longest plays. It looked like there was a concerted effort to stick to the short to intermediate game, quick throws, ball out of Josh's hand fast, high percentage plays. And you see the proof's in the pudding. I mean, 71% completion. I mean, it was the highest number of completions in a game in his career, and I think it was his highest completion percentage in a game in his career.
Yeah, you know, you could pick on the few bad throws he made and ignore, but how can you ignore so many good throws that he made? And I found it funny, the Twitter warriors that came out that were only watching the Red Zone channel that just saw a couple clips, and one of them I'm sure was the bad pass to John Brown in the end zone. And so you could create this narrative if you want that you still have an athlete quarterback that only threw for over 300 because it was a depleted Jets secondary, whatever you want. Josh Allen looked great yesterday, in my opinion. I thought he threw the ball extremely well. I thought he made great decisions. You know, that ball to Cole Beasley, do you want to keep him running in stride? Yes. But also by putting it lower, well, he had to maneuver a linebacker to throw it over his head.
Right.
And by keeping it lower, yes, he can't take off running. It also makes it a very high percentage that it cannot be intercepted. When you throw those balls high across the middle, if they get tipped up in the air, now you have two safeties behind them that could come and make a play on that ball. I'm not saying that's exactly what happened. Just as I see it, you know, I don't know that that's a complete miscue or misfire by him on that throw. But yeah, is the one, you know, are they going to have fun with that one to John Brown today on film? Sure. Is Dawson Knox, do they probably crack up about that one too? Because you can have fun in a very easy 10-point win where, you know, they're simply running out the clock. And talking about running out the clock before I'm let go on my hour, I thought their last real drive was absolutely phenomenal. What they eat up, like 6 minutes a clock.
Yeah, I think it was 14 play drive.
And it wasn't all runs, obviously. They weren't running the ball super effectively yesterday. It was just completion after completion. Had the one play to Stephon Diggs down the sideline on the over route. But I thought that was just an absolutely incredible drive to milk it completely out. They showed nothing. Steve, I was listening to you on the broadcast. I enjoyed your assessment of the goal line plays. Don't show them anything at this point. You know, just they literally ran the same handoff two, maybe three times in a row.
Three times
Don't
in
give
a row.
Up any yeah. of your goal. Three times in a row. Don't give up any of your goal line play. Your goal line plays. Yes, would you love to run it in there? Yeah. Do you want the score? Absolutely. You know, they're competitors. But you run all that time out, and then you give Tyler Bass a chip-in field goal.
Yeah, and Eric, you mentioned Twitter, and before you go, we want to leave with this because Eric had a tweet that got a blow-up in terms of a response about Tom Brady being down in Tampa and losing. to the Saints in week one. And Eric kind of wanted Tom Brady to do well in Tampa right out of the gate to kind of prove to everybody how difficult it was to win in the AFC East when he was here. And I'm sure you read some of the responses, Eric. Nobody was agreeing. The large majority of people were not agreeing with you.
Yeah, and I've kind of posted that half facetiously, trying to stir up some Twitter emotions. And
mission
and
accomplished.
I'm still getting responses from him. It's hilarious. It just shows the true passion of Bills fans with all the responses that I got. I mean, I even got Andre Reed chiming in. Of course not. Of course you can't root for him down in Tampa. So I really got a kick out of those responses.
All right, Eric, listen, thanks for spending the hour with us here. We look forward to doing this again with you next week. So get ready for the Bills-Dolphins. Anything real quick you have, initial thoughts about Bills-Dolphins on Sunday?
Well, you get my former head coach as the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
Chan Gailey's coming back to town. Ryan Fitzpatrick, likely the starter this week, coming back to town. Always fun to watch my boy Fitzy play. The Dolphins – they need to make some strides this year, or else Brian Flores and his staff, they won't be there to see the fruits of, essentially getting rid of everybody last year to either try and get Tua or Joe Burrow or whoever they were trying to get. They're not going to see the fruits of that. So they want to have a good year this year and dropping to 0-2. The statistics go nuts as far as making the playoffs, and these NFL players understand that they're going to come out fighting this week in Miami in Hard Rock Stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're going to see some 10 personnel from the Dolphins this week. They go four wide if they do anything like they did here in Buffalo when it was C.J. Spiller in the backfield and four receivers spread all over the field. Eric, thanks very much. We'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right, that's Eric Wood joining us here for the first hour of a Bills Victory Monday. We have to take a break, but when we come back, we will hear from some of the players in the victory yesterday, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Mitch Morse, and even Coach McDermott, as we go around the locker room. When we come back here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.